Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, there is a description of the plight of the Church of Christ in the world. The chapter begins by showing us a picture of a magnificent woman in glorious apparel. And this woman represents the church, both the church of the Old Testament and the church of the New Testament, which is really one church throughout all human history. And it tells us that this woman is in labor pains, and she is about to give birth to a son who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. So she's going to bring forth into the world the Messiah, the long-promised Savior and deliverer of the people from the dominion of Satan. But the Bible tells us that a great red dragon sat before her and waited in order to devour her child the moment that it was born. And this is talking about Satan and his desire to frustrate and destroy God's plan to redeem and save the human race through the person and work of Christ our Lord. But the Bible says that she, in verse 5, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. In other words, Jesus was born, and he accomplished the saving will of God. And he was exalted to the right hand of God in victory, with his task accomplished and completed on our behalf. And the first part of our of the reading of chapter 12 closes with the woman. Remember, the church, she flees into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So the church of the New Testament is a church that has this wonderful glory, and yet it flees into the wilderness. This is what we live in as Christians in the world. Why? Because we live in the world and we participate in the things of the world, but we do not belong to the world. We are pilgrims and strangers passing through. And to us who have the mind of Christ, the world and all of its glories is but a wilderness, because we have in our hearts the kingdom of glory, for which we yearn, for which we wait patiently in faith. All right, now that begins the chapter, chapter 12. So we have the devil frustrated in his desire to destroy Jesus. And after Jesus ascends to heaven, the church flees into the wilderness, where despite the depredations of wilderness life, she is cared for throughout all the time of her sojourn. And then our epistle text comes into play. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels, and the devil fought and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. When did this war take place? It took place in conjunction with the life, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. What Jesus, the Son of God, was accomplishing on earth for the redemption of the entire world is mirrored by this picture of the devil and his angels being thrown out of heaven in defeat. In other words, by the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, Satan was decisively defeated. In what way was he defeated? Well, let's listen to our text. It says that the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, which deceived the whole world. Listen, every lie, every religion that is not the religion of Jesus, every philosophy that stands against the Bible and the Christian faith, every ideology that brings people into bondage and away from freedom and truth is all the work of the devil. All right? It is all the work of the devil. When you buy into some earthly lie, thinking that, well, it's scientific, it must be true, you are failing to remember who the God of this world is, who the prince of the power of the air is, and what he does. He deceiveth the whole world, but he never deceives the elect of God, those who are chosen in Christ and who are saved by the blood of Jesus, are never deceived. And he was cast out to the earth and his angels. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now listen to this. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Aha! Now this gives us a real insight. Before the saving work of Christ, before he perfectly obeyed the law in your place for you, and before he died paying in full for your sins on the accursed cross, the devil acted as the prosecuting attorney accusing God's people of their sins and failings making a case against God's people right in the presence of God. Think of the first chapters of the book of Job, where God is up there and Satan comes along and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And God and Satan says, "Ah, well, you protected him, you give him all these blessings and everything. Take these things away and it'll curse you to your face." All right? So the devil, before the saving work of Christ, was able to bring accusations against us before God in heaven. Now, listen to me, he is no longer able to do that. He has been kicked out of heaven. He no longer has access to the throne of God, and his ravings and accusations are as nothing. Why? Because the blood of Christ covers all of our sins. And when your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, the accusations of the devil end up sounding like the muttered ravings of a lunatic. Do you understand me? Christ's payment for your sins, his once and for all reconciling man and God by his suffering, death, shed blood, and resurrection, means that Satan's mouth has been shut as far as being able to accuse us of sin before God. Because in the face of every accusation of sin comes the louder voice of the grace of God and the forgiveness of all of our sins. Do you see this? You see how wonderful what it is that Christ has accomplished for us? He silences the prosecuting attorney. And we no longer have a tongue wagging against us in the throne room of God in heaven. So it says that the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before God day and night. So he's lost that position. Because Christ has paid for all sin, and Christ has been fully righteous and in compliance with the law of God on our behalf. And when we believe in Jesus, his payment for our sins is credit to our account, and his obedience to the law is credited to our account. And spiritually speaking, even though we never did a blessed thing to deserve it, we are multi-billionaires in the kingdom of God. This is what we have in Christ. It is utterly, utterly true. And therefore, it says in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, he says, how does the Christian living in the wilderness of this world, experiencing temptations, persecutions, troubles, problems, how does the Christian overcome Satan in this world? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. The blood of the Lamb means Jesus saving death for our sins. You continue to trust that his blood takes away your sin. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, I know that our sins can be great at times, but God's grace in Christ is greater than our sins. It's so easy for us in our guilt and in our uncertainty about ourselves to begin to let go and be unsure and to be a little bit weak in our grasp of this precious gift that is given to us. But listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, takes away all your sin. And when you cling to that blood, when you trust in that blood, Satan is silenced. Luther used to talk about the devil coming to him and accusing him of a list of sins. And Luther would laugh and he would say to the devil, he would say, "Devil, you have quite an impressive list there. But I know of some of my sins that you didn't even know about, and I can add to your list. Now run away, trot along. My sins are covered in Christ. I am forgiven and redeemed in Jesus." Now, how do we know this? Because of the word of their testimony. What is the word of their testimony? It is the inspired word of God. In particular, it is the divinely inspired word of the New Testament, which we have, so that now in our holy Bibles, we have in the Old and in the New Testament, the complete and perfect word of God. And when we hear and receive, study and meditate upon the word of God, our faith in the redeeming work of Christ is strengthened, and our hold upon it is strengthened, so that we don't fall into the terrible habit of being wishy-washy and being insecure and wondering if it's really true. That's a terrible state to be in. But the antidote to it is the blood of Jesus and the word of the testimony. Because that's where our faith takes its stand, upon a rock that no man can break. The rock of Jesus Christ. And so it says that these people who stand upon the rock of the blood of Christ and the word of the testimony, these people are so strengthened and filled with God's power because of this wonderful accomplishment in Christ that it says they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, their grasp on the grace of God and the kingdom of Christ is such that it makes them willing to die, if necessary, for the glory of God and the kingdom of Christ. And so, what a wonderful testimony to the victory of Christ over the devil. And what a wonderful testimony of this wonderful thing that we have that cannot be taken away from us. This surpassing victory in Christ. And we confess the blood of Christ. And we confess the testimony of the apostles. Our text ends with the angel saying, "Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Why? Because the devil is gone. He's been kicked out. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea." Why? Because the devil is not in heaven anymore. He's come down to you. All right? "For the devil has come down to you having great wrath." He's angry. He's really in a snit. Why? Because he knows he only has a short time. He is a desperate, defeated enemy who is endeavoring to take as many down with him as he can into the defeat that he knows he is participating in, even as he acts to endeavor to destroy Christians. So you and I, as long as we cling to Jesus, as long as we cling to the gospel, we are safe. And when we sin, which we do, the blood of Christ covers our sins. All right? And the Holy Ghost, through the Word, empowers us. This is a great and wonderful thing. Amen.